He speaks in the first part of chapter 3 about being recommended. He said, do we begin again to commend or recommend ourselves, or need we, as some others, as a total stranger would need, letters, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. The first 5 verses of 2 Corinthians 3. Now there are 7 letters mentioned here. The first one is what ought to be practiced everywhere among Christians even today. The introduction of a stranger by sending a letter. And this letter should welcome true believers. It would also serve to avoid those who are frauds. And it would give some information regarding the person who is being commended, about his character, his ability, his needs, and so on. Now, they could also be introduced personally, as Paul was introduced by Barnabas in the 9th of Acts and other cases that are recorded. Certainly, these letters should not have been demanded of Paul by the Corinthians. They knew who he was. And so it was totally wrong to require a letter of recommendation from him. However, as Christians, you and I, if we're going to visit among strange people, people we haven't met before, we should have something, some kind of commendation, some kind of letter telling who we are, so that other Christians would be able to receive us heartily and welcome us among them without any suspicion. The second letter, there are 7 of them here in these first 5 verses, the second letter that he's talking about is one for him personally. Now, while letters of recommendation were perfectly right, and this was practiced among the church, he said, you couldn't give me a letter. Now, first of all, they couldn't give him a letter because they weren't agreed about him. The majority seemed to accept him after his first epistle, but there was a minority, and a noisy one, that was still questioning Paul's apostleship. And the second reason that they couldn't give Paul a letter was because spiritual assemblies would not have received it. Knowing the condition of the Corinthians, they would say, well, what good is a letter from a church that allows all these things to go on? Immorality and all kinds of things. So the Corinthians certainly could not give Paul a letter. Now the third letter referred to here is that these Corinthians themselves were actually a letter of commendation for the Apostle Paul. First of all, this letter was written in Paul's own heart. And he proved this by his labor and his hardships and his patience. He showed that he really loved these Corinthians. And then all of them knew that Paul had led them to Christ. They understood who he was. So certainly if he had led them to the Lord, there could be no question about his being sent by the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 3, this is presented as a final proof that Paul was an apostle. In other words, a workman is known by his work. Now, some people are simply looking for numbers. If they can get a great many professions, they're satisfied. But Paul wanted reality. And this is what I'd like to see. When a person tells me that he's a child of God, I don't want it to be a false profession. And if you have a false profession, you better give it up and receive Christ. The fourth letter that is written here is Paul's own letter of commendation. For that's really what he's writing in 2 Corinthians. He shrinks from it. In fact, he calls himself a fool in boasting about these things that God had done for him and through him. That's in chapter 12. He wrote in chapters 3 to 6 of what a servant of Christ is like. He shows just what a servant of Christ should be. And those who knew him would know that he had these qualifications. Then in chapters 10 to 13, he writes of what a true servant of Christ would have to suffer. And they knew that this was true of Paul. They knew that Paul had suffered greatly. He had gone through all kinds of hardships. So in writing to them, in saying these things that we've just read, he was actually recommending himself. But he was doing it by calling attention to what God had done in and through him. In another place, he said, "You have known my doctrine and manner of life, and these are the tests of anyone who claims to be a servant of the Lord Jesus. If a man professes to be a Christian, but his life is not consistent, you have no reason to receive him as a servant of Christ. If, on the other hand, his life is good, but his doctrine is not according to the Word of God, he's teaching something which is heterodox, untrue, unorthodox, then you have no reason to receive him, because, as the Irish say, what's new is not true, and what's true is not new. The Word of God is our determining criterion." The fifth letter that he writes to them here is the, or speaks of here, is the salvation of the Corinthians, which was really Christ's writing. He's saying, here is a letter of commendation that you have. Now, while it was Paul who planted and Apollos who watered, he says in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6, it was really God who gave the increase. And in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11, he said that the foundation stone was Christ. He said, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. And other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now the gospel light had shone into their hearts. He mentions this a little later on in the next chapter, 2 Corinthians 4. And because they had received the gospel, they were really the work of Christ. It was Christ who had saved them. So the greatest commendation that the Corinthians could have was to prove that they were real. Now, they had done this partly through their sorrow over the things that were not right and which Paul had corrected in 1 Corinthians, the first epistle to the Corinthians. And now, he said, you have proved that. I'd like you to go on and prove that you are really Christ's writing. Then he refers to the writing of God's law on tables of stone. That is the Ten Commandments that were given through Moses. God's justice is as inflexible and unchanging as stone, and it's as hard and as cold. All that the law could bring was death. In the third chapter, he tells us this. The law could never save anybody. None can be justified by the law. Romans 3:20 says this. The law can only bring us into slavery. Galatians 5:1 tells us this. And furthermore, there were two books written in the New Testament to show that the Jews nor the Gentiles are under the law. Galatians shows that the Gentiles never were under the law. And Hebrews proves that the Jews are no longer under the law. Salvation does not come by the law. The law is not the criterion, not the standard, not the model for Christian living, but rather the grace of God in Christ. And the seventh letter that he refers to here is God's will, which is now written in the hearts of believers. In God's promise to the Jews in Jeremiah 31, he said that he would write these things in their hearts. Now, this covenant with Israel, the eighth covenant, the new covenant, is yet future. But we are blessed in the same way by the whosoever wills of the New Testament. And so by grace, we have had the will of God written into our hearts. Now, the second way in which he does this is by the Holy Spirit indwelling us, the Spirit of God living within us, giving us a new nature, empowering us to have new desires and new motives, and leading us in the direction that God would have us to go, is really the writing of God, not in stone, but in our hearts. The Spirit of God works against the old nature, which is still present. And so, because of this, because of what God is doing in the hearts of believers, he can say that we are the writing of God, and he can add, we have no sufficiency of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Our Father, we pray that you bless these thoughts on thy word. We pray that thy word may be real to those who listen, whether saved or unsaved, that thou wilt save the lost and bless thy dear children in our Savior's name. Amen.